God is love. No truer statement than that. Can we truly comprehend the love of God? That is what we're going to do this morning. First, I want to say welcome to Hendersonville, a Church of Christ. We have a great crowd this morning, and we are so glad that you're here on this Christmas Eve. Now, I know we have a lot of our members out of town, but I think we have a lot of in town, too. Did anybody bring someone with them out of town? Got family and friends here today? Raise your hand. Who's got family and friends with them today? Fantastic. That is great. We are so glad that you are here. You are a welcome guest this morning. I hope that we're not the first to tell you this morning, Merry Christmas. It's going to be a great day. We are so glad. Hey, kids, we've waited 364 days for this one, right? Tomorrow, Santa Claus is coming to town. Is that right? Are you guys ready for your Christmas presents? Yes. Ah, I see a lot of kids shaking their head. They're ready for their Christmas presents. You've been good all year long so that you could get ready for this day, didn't you? You know what? I've heard that Santa, I got a connection with him. He's told me a lot of you guys have been very good, going to get lots of good presents this year. So it's going to be a good day for you. Now, some of the adults, I've tried to convince him that y'all were good, but he wasn't listening at all. And, buddy, I don't think you're getting a lump of coal, so I hope you're okay with that. Anyway, we're so glad that you are here this morning. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says this, anyone who does not love God, does not love, does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his only Son into the world to give us life through him. True love is God's love for us, not our love for God. He sent his Son as the way to take away our sins. God is love. And you know, he showed his love to us by sending a light to the world, a light that stepped down into darkness. You know, as we think about the light of the world, you step down into darkness. We think about the master of the universe who looked down upon us and said, I love you so much that I'm willing to send my son, my only son, my one son from my side. I'm willing to send him down to a dark world to save you, to rescue you. God is love. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Begins to unfold in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, it says this, when the angel appears to Mary, and it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that this might be. And you know, when I read this scripture right here, I think the last thing that I think of at this point is the greeting. And what kind of words is this? I think the first thing that I would have thought of is, why is an angel talking to me? But it says that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that this might be. The greeting was, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You know, kind of a buttering up. So, hey, I got something I want you to do now. You know how that is, right? Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Gabriel appears in this town of Nazareth, a very small town, a town not really known for much, except that it was a center that the priests could go to when they're off duty, a time that they could stop by, they could pray, they could fast. It was probably a very religious city. And we see Mary, a very young Mary, a very young teenager, maybe not even 14 to 16 years old. But we know, we can probably see from Mary that she's very dedicated to her religion just because of where she's at and who her kin is. We see a young teenager, Mary, who is very dedicated to the temple. We see a young Mary, a young 14 to 16 year old who is very dedicated to God. This is a teenager who is focused on who she wants to be. This is a teenager who is focused on her relationship with God. And out of all the other females, out of all the other people that God could have chosen, he chose this poor young teenager. A teenager who was definitely not rich. A teenager who was definitely not coming from royalty, or a teenager that was not well connected. Probably a teenager that was not even popular. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You're going to be the mother of a king. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of his father David." And we see Mary contemplating the words in her heart and the scriptures that come after this. We see Mary who is soaking up all of this that the angel is telling her. All of the feelings that are coming with inside of her. And in the verses after this, we see Mary's song. We're going to sing it this morning as Magnificat. And we see Mary's heart. And this morning as we sing, I want us to understand that the story will continue all through the morning. And this particular song talks about Mary's heart, the teenager's heart. And our first words was, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servants. He has been mindful of me. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to the Spirit. God alone is worthy. Holy is his name." Let us pray, and then we're going to come and sing Magnificat. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we just say, holy is your name. You alone are worthy. Glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this morning we are so thankful that you have been mindful of us, that you sent your Son on this earth to die for us. Lord, this morning our soul truly rejoices. Our soul truly glorifies the Lord. And Lord, we pray you'll look down upon us this morning with your favor, that you will bless us in every way. And we're so thankful that the light of the world, you step down into darkness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. You know, the Old Testament has given us hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that we see being fulfilled throughout the New Testament. Probably the most popular of that coming from Isaiah chapter 53, where it says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem." And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we see another prophecy. Some 700 years before the scripture that we're about to read, we see it happen exactly the way that the scripture says. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us." In Luke chapter 2, we see the birth of Christ. In Luke chapter 2, we see the light of the world who is about to come into this darkness, who is about to step into this darkness. And in Luke chapter 2, it says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first restoration, with Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And you know, the time of year that they did this census probably was maybe even the darkest time, the shortest days of the year. Maybe when the sun was furthest from this part of the Holy Lands. You know, and I think it's ironic that during these short days, during maybe the darkest time of the year, you know, isn't it fitting that the light of the world actually came during what possibly could have been one of the world's darkest times? And as I read the scriptures here, I think about several things that come to my mind. I think about the distance that they had to travel down to Bethlehem, probably about 100 miles, you know, over up and down the hills and the rocks and the mountains and the trails that they had to have walked. They must have been one of the last ones to arrive in Bethlehem. You know, and I wonder a couple of things here. I wonder on this 100-mile trek, I wonder, did they have an animal to travel on? You know, maybe they were so poor they could not afford a donkey or a mule or something that could have gotten them there faster. And I wonder, number two, is that if they didn't have an animal to walk on or with them, that Mary is 8 to 9 months pregnant. And Mary is about to make a 100-mile hike, 8 to 9 months pregnant. A trip that might have taken 8 to 10 days. A trip that might have been slow. Right? Nevertheless, they arrive in Bethlehem, and there's no place to stay. There's no inn for them to go to. There's no family for them to go to. And you know, as they arrive into the city of Bethlehem, I notice that there's no trumpets there to introduce them, that the birth of Jesus is about to happen. The king is about to arrive. There's no trumpets. You know, I notice that the scripture doesn't tell us there, as they're walking into the city, that the red carpet is laid out before them to direct them right to where they're supposed to go, to the throne of David. There's no red carpets. There's no banners on the street corners to announce the arrival of Jesus is here. No. The Son of God is about to be born in a barn with the animals in a manger. So away in a manger, because there is no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky, they looked on where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The light of the world who has come down into darkness is sleeping in the hay. Let us sing Away in a Manger. As this newborn baby lay in this manger with all the hay around it, with all the livestock probably there with him, I wonder about Joseph and Mary as they sit there beside this crib. And I wonder what is going through their minds at this point. Are they standing there just staring at this baby, awestruck by his glory? I wonder if Joseph and Mary, are they mystified by the commonplace for which they find themselves? I wonder if Joseph and Mary, are they terrified? Are they scared that they're going to do something wrong with this king? What is going through their mind? And as Mary, as she grabs the baby and as she feeds this baby Jesus, what is going through her heart? What is going through her mind? What is the feelings that she is feeling and must be going to? And as she looks out to the stars, does she realize that the light of the world has stepped down into darkness. And on the outsides of this barn, in the streets, no one has understood what has happened. You know, the innkeeper who turned them away at the inn doesn't realize what this night has held, what it has become. The Roman officials who are taking the census has no idea what has happened. The people who are walking by on the street have no idea what majesty is inside of those doors. You know, but the stars shining in the sky had to have understood what this night held. They must be shining all the brighter on this night. You know, the angels definitely understand what this night holds. And they must be busting at the seams to tell everyone what has happened on this star-filled holy night. Let's continue our reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The shepherds and the angels. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear, which is the reaction I would have had if an angel appeared to me. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And I think as the shepherds listened to this, what their hearts must be feeling after they got over the fear, you know, the excitement that must be going through their minds that the angels have told them, and the great joy that must be going through their minds about the good news of the great joy that is for all the people. And I think as the shepherds are listening to the words that they're thinking about, seeing this king, going to this king and finding this baby wrapped in the swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And I'm sure in their minds and in their hearts and in their thoughts, they're singing along with the angels, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And the scripture says that the shepherds hurried off, leaving the sheep in the field to go and to find what the angels have told them about this night. And when the shepherds get to Bethlehem, they find everything just as the angel had described. But you know what they didn't find? They didn't find trumpets at the gates. They didn't find the red carpet that led them to the king. They didn't find all the banners on the street corners. What they found was a barn and a manger. And I can see the shepherds as they're walking into this barn, falling down on their knees to see this newborn king. And as the shepherds went in, I can see them glorifying and praising God for this holy night. Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. You know, the shepherds must have felt the thrill of hope as the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, the night that Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Let's sing, "Oh, holy night." Light of the world, you step down into darkness. The news is spreading. The news is spreading all over Bethlehem. The news is spreading with the angels and the heavenly host as they praise God and say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The news is spreading. The joy is spreading all throughout Bethlehem with the shepherds who go about praising God and spreading the good news of great joy for all people, praising and glorifying God. The joy is spreading all over Bethlehem as Mary, who is holding this newborn baby, continues to think about and ponder upon these things, storing and treasuring up all these things in her heart. And the news is spreading. The joy is spreading, not just in Bethlehem, but all over the East. As we see wise men, we see the Magi, who has seen the star arise above Bethlehem and has known that the time has come for a king. And in Matthew chapter 2, we see the visit by the Magi, where it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So not only in the town of Bethlehem is there joy, but all the way in the east where the wise men have seen this star, this beautiful star of Bethlehem rise high in the sky. And the scripture says when they saw the star that they were overjoyed, beyond joy, and that they had to go and visit, and they had to go and worship this newborn king, and they had to visit this newborn king, bringing him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And even today, that beautiful star of Bethlehem shines and reaches down on us so that we may be overjoyed too. Even this morning, we can bow down and we can worship because of this hope that He brought into the world. This morning, the news is that we can find joy in this newborn king. This morning, the news is that we can find peace in this newborn king. This morning, the news is we can find rest in this newborn king. This newborn king who stepped down into darkness. And joy to the world, because the light of the world, he did step down into darkness. Joy to the world has come. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart here this morning prepare him room. And let all of heaven and all of nature sing, because the light of the world has stepped down into darkness. Joy to the world. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Joy to that world. The world that God created. The world that at the beginning of time was dark and void. Joy to the world that God created. The world that at the beginning of time, the Lord had to separate the light from the darkness. Joy to the world that God created. The world that at the beginning of time, the Lord had to separate the land from the seas. A land that had no vegetation, a land that had no plants, a land that had no fruits, that a God, the Lord, the world at the beginning of time had to come in and say, be, and it was. Joy to the world that God created, the world that at the beginning of time had no fish, had no animals, had no livestock. And a Lord who had to step down and speak into existence all of the animals, all of the wild animals, all the livestock, the birds, the creepy crawling things on the earth, the fish and the sea, the animals that live in the sea. Joy to the world that had God created, the world that at the beginning of time had no stars, had no moon, had no sun. That God had to speak into existence and had to put the little twinkly things up there called stars, and the lesser light to call the moon, and the main light to call the sun, and creating the day and the night. joy to the world that God created, the world that at the beginning of time filled with sin and turned its back on its creator. And this morning, with that backdrop of enormity of our Lord in the creation, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask myself a question. Why am I here? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my objective on this earth? Why am I here? You know, I think that's the question that maybe Mary asked. Why am I here? You know, I think that's the question that maybe the shepherds asked. Why am I here? I think that may be even the question that the wise men, the magi, asked. Why are we here? Here in just a few seconds, minutes, we're going to offer an invitation. And this morning, I want to invite each and every one of you sitting here this morning, I want to invite you to an invitation. I want to invite you this morning to be a reflection of that bright star over Bethlehem. This morning, as we sit here and as we're going to offer an invitation shortly, I want to invite you to go about telling the world of the good news of the great joy for all the people. This morning, as we're about to offer an invitation, I want to invite you to treasure in your heart, to store up in your heart all of the marvelous things that God has done in your life, because He has done some marvelous things. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. And because of that, Lord, I am here to worship. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. Hope of a life spent with you. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Let us worship our God as we come and sing.